Similar one then, back on the BBC.
It's sort of loose travel. I liked it. It was like, there's a lorry, it broke down, we changed the tyre, it's better now. I like that.
It's good. We were just looking at the screen that Nick uses, which is positively TARDIS-like.
It's sort of omniscient.
Yeah.
I can see everything that's happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So look out, behave yourself.
Yeah.
He's like a manic controller of all of this, and he's punching and
kicking. You're actually
things.
Controlling the travel throughout the country, aren't you? You're pressing the buttons.
I can't confirm that.
No. You don't need to. Your look said it all.
Well, funny enough, within the BBC, as you walk into the famous television centre here, there is a TARDIS. It's not one of the real ones. Is it one of the real ones?
Well, I missed that today. I saw a Dalek in the cafe.
The BBC is just littered with
props. That's
because everyone's a fan in here, and it is. I had my picture taken beside the TARDIS. I didn't think, is the TARDIS made of wood?
It is, yeah.
Then it could be a real TARDIS then.
Oh yeah.
When you look up close, does it not look like a TARDIS?
Oh no, it looks. Well, it was always wood. Police boxes were wood.
Yeah, but I'm trying to say that when you see it in real life, it's a wee bit scrappy.
I wouldn't agree. No, the great thing about the TARDIS. I'm still a pathetic fanboy 4 years on. The great thing about the TARDIS is wherever you put it, it just looks epic.
Yeah.
You just put this prop, and it can be in the middle of the desert, it can be among snow, it can be just on the corner of a street, some manky old warehouse. It just looks good.
Looks perfect.
Always looks right.
Like now, it's beside our security gate and a plant pot, and it still looks fantastic.
Still looks right, yeah.
Should we do some of these questions?
Yeah, go on.
Carol, who's 10, says, what was the creature in Midnight, and will it appear in the future?
It's an excellent question, because we never find out. It's one of the few times that there is something threatening the Doctor, and we never really find out what it was.
Like Maris in Frasier, you never see her. Miles' ex-wife, you never see her. Not
probably,
Frasier.
Probably similar to that, yeah.
It's probably copied from that.
Yeah,
see.
Yeah.
Andy in Kent says, I noticed in the trailer that the bus in the desert has gone a bit squishy after reportedly being dropped in Dubai docks. How did I explain it in the script? Is that true?
It is true. We shipped it out there. And of course, you have to think far in advance if you're going to ship a bus to the middle of the desert in Dubai. So it left 6 weeks before we were due to shoot there. Got there fine, was offloaded on the docks, and somebody dropped a cargo container on top of it and smashed it to bits. But a bit of panel beating and actually very little rewriting.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. If you're going to transport a bus through a wormhole, it's going to get battered.
So it looks
right.
So
it kind of worked to our advantage in the end, yeah.
Wow. Maybe even planned it. Nice that the taster featured David, come on, Tennant's catchphrase.
Is that my catchphrase?
Apparently.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
What other ones? You know, that's probably is the main catchphrase.
Allons-y is probably the other one. Allons-y is the other one,
Lois Gumby says, is your back completely recovered now, or is there a chance the problem will return in the future? Do you get fed up of answering all the same questions over and over when promotion interviews one after the other? I like to think you're excluding this interview, Lois. I haven't even asked him about the house martins yet. He only gets asked that when I interview him.
The back is better. Yeah, there is a tiny chance it can recur again, but I think it's not much more of a chance than it can recur in anybody at any given moment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very good surgeon who gave me I think it was called a discectomy. Removed all the gunky bits that came out of my prolapsed disc that were pushing against the nerve. And I'm pretty much back to normal. Still a slight loss of sensation in my little toe.
Yeah.
Which may never come back, apparently. But yeah, I can live without it.
It's almost kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a sort of whirlwind, isn't it?
If you can get to the stage where there's no feeling in it, then at parties you can say, stamp on my toe. Stamp on
my toe.
That's
true.
And people can stamp
on
your foot.
It can still bleed and break, though.
Yeah, I know, but you won't feel it.
I won't feel it.
It's fine. Stephen in Bristol, how are you doing, Stephen?
Very well, Colin.
Good, big Doctor Who fan?
Massive, yeah.
Lovely.
Since the mid-60s.
Oh, wow. You see, I'm the new breed. When I was a youngster, I used to find it too scary to watch when I was knee-high to Grasshopper. And then this time around, first with Christopher and then with David, I'm the new breed. Do you hate the new breeds like me?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Colin, I'll suggest an episode for you. They've just released it on DVD now. It's a William Hartnell story called The Time Meddler.
Yeah.
And it was a precursor to The Master. Brilliant story, really well written. And it's a shame they don't bring that sort of character back. Absolutely fantastic. I can't remember it first time around. I've just watched it on DVD now. Wonderful.
That's
story.
Good. Because I always go and look at the section, of box sets in the shop. And I just look at it and it intimidates me to go back that far. So I will exactly do that, Stephen. Do you want to ask the Doctor a question?
Yeah, yes, please.
Hello, Stephen.
Good afternoon. David, I'm going to be honest. You are my second favourite Doctor.
Second favourite? Okay, thanks. That's good.
The reason being, and I'm sure you're the same and everybody else, is the first Doctor, my favourite is the one I grew up with.
Who was that?
Tom Baker.
Right, very good.
And I would put you in his shoes. I thought your the best episode that you did, which was an absolutely beautifully written episode, was the Girl in the Fireplace.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
One of my most favourite episodes of Doctor Who ever.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Your best moment on screen was with the most malevolent man I've ever seen on screen, which was Anthony Head.
Yes, very good. Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Superb episode, and it just brought you up another level. It's just absolutely incredible episode. Anyway, my question is this.
Yeah.
The Doctor has only got 13 regenerations.
Yeah.
The Master had to murder somebody to get his 14th.
Mm.
What do you think they're going to do?
Well, it wouldn't be my decision to make. I'll be long gone by then, I guess. So who knows? And it'll be up to a scriptwriter, no doubt more inventive than I am. But, there's an interesting thing there, isn't it? That the eternally moral man might have to do something immoral to continue his own life. I don't know. That's an interesting story right there, I would have thought.
That's what's beautiful about it, though, Stephen. You're already asking questions about two generations' time.
Well, it's going to happen. If you take it that Chris, you know, did two season... Dave's done three seasons, is it?
Three and a half, I suppose, if you count this year's.
Okay. He'll count the special.
Yeah,
he's holding on to them.
The next guy maybe do two seasons. You're only talking 2012, 2013 before they look at that. If the next guy doesn't do a Tom Baker and do seven seasons.
Well, yeah. But he might. Who knows? Yeah. You never know.
Well, I must ask you, Stephen. Just finally, what do you think of Matt Smith?
I don't. Hand on my heart, I don't know anything about the guy, which is good.
That's what's interesting.
In my opinion, when John Pertwee turned to Tom Baker, I actually refused to watch Doctor Who. because I was so much into John Pertwee. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And I was stamped my feet. I cried when the regeneration scene with the Planet of Spiders.
Yeah.
Absolutely refused to watch it. And my mum and dad sat me down and said, look, it's a story. It's on the television. Sit down and watch it. And then I started watching it about halfway through the first season of Tom Baker. And then the guy was... Although David's second, he is a very close to that top because the way he is on the screen, that your presence as Doctor Who has been a breath of fresh air.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, listen, Stephen, thank you very much for joining us. And you'd actually concur with that because your favourite Doctor Who's the one you grew up with as well, David.
It probably is, yeah. Yeah, which was Tom Baker for me, yeah.
It'd be weird if you said that's me. I'm my favourite Doctor Who. What are you talking about, Colin? I'm much better than Baker. Charlie in Glasgow. He was great. Enthusiasm.
Yes, absolutely.
That's all you can hope for.
Absolutely.
Charlie in Glasgow says, what are you going to miss most about not being Doctor Who? Because it probably will be an idiosyncrasy, won't it? So it'll be pulling on a coat or it'll be a certain person. Or...
It'll probably be the people in Cardiff, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's been 4 years with most of the same people working on the show. And, you know, you get to know these people and rely on them and you get very fond of them. And it is... the best crew I've ever worked with, and I'll miss them. Mm. And it'd probably be that, yeah.
Ruby, who's 11 in Liverpool, it's good. A lot of people off for holidays, and it's just nice. We're getting questions from people age ranging 60 years between them, which is wonderful. Ruby wants to know your favourite episode to film. I know the Pompeii one's high up. We've already had the Girl in the Fireplace is high up.
Yeah. Do you know, right now, I'm having as good a time as I've ever had. With Bernard Cribbins and some of the other people who are back for this final story, I'm as happy as I've ever been on it, actually.
There's another issue. So there's another issue I want to bring to your attention before we do the rest of these questions. I mean, executive producer Russell T. Davis, he's leaving the programme as well.
Yeah.
This is massive, I think, and might worry a lot of fans. I mean, I know there's a lot of gifted writers, but we're talking about not only a chief writer, but, you know, the executive producer, and you've talked so fondly about him. Mm. You know, will the next series be very different because of that? Or has he left such a footprint?
The thing is, the chap who's taken over is Stephen Moffat, who's written, well, The Girl in the Fireplace, he wrote that. He's been part of the team, really, even longer than I have. Mm. So he's very much... one of the gang. You know, he'll have his own ideas and his own way. I'm sure it will change a bit, but it'll still be the same show and it'll still have the same spirit. And Stephen's a great writer and Matt's a great actor, so it'll be different but the same, I suspect.
Michelle and Gwent in South Wales was asking about your favourite episodes as well, and Tom was asking, talking about Blink being a fantastic episode. So I just wanted to give you your props there for spending your money texting in the show. Now, have you any idea what the new Doctor will wear? As your Doctor stole suit trainers, right?
Yeah.
So that look of suit trainers.
Yeah.
So would he steal any of your image?
If that was the information that I had any kind of access to, I think it would be a bit grim of me to blow it all on Matt's behalf.
Okay, let me ask you a hypothetical question, Mr. Tennant. Would you be annoyed a little bit?
What, if he stole my look?
Were you a bit possessive about, that's my look. I'm having that look. I'm the second best Doctor ever.
I think I'm sure he will want to have his own individual look. He wouldn't want to just dress up like me, would he?
You're a good politician.
Well,
sometimes.
It's true. He wouldn't. You want
I'm
to
just asking it. Would you be annoyed? Well, not annoyed, but would
I'd
you like to keep that image for yourself?
I'd be honoured that somebody felt they wanted to take that on.
Oh my goodness. Okay. What have we got here? Hello to Martha, there. She just wants to say your wonderful smile makes her 11-year-old daughter Martha really happy all the time.
Oh, I'm glad.
It's good that the old pearly whites do that job, which is very nice. Now, a lot of people are texting about individual programmes as such, you know, that they love, which you're going to get coming in all the time. When will you actually finish completely? When's going to be the day you walk away?
We finished shooting Doctor Who on the 22nd of May, but I've got some other stuff to do in Cardiff after that.
Okay. Do you think they'll have a big party for you, a big surprise?
I think there'll be some kind of a party at the end, but, you know, in the new streamlined BBC, we can't spend any money on such things.
Yeah, but, you
know. Or somebody has to kill the Blue Peter cat or something. I think that's the rule now, isn't it?
Do you know what? Even now, so many years after the Blue Peter garden was ruined, you don't want to start killing. You don't even want to mention. You'll be...
I was joking about
the cat. I just want to help you with that. Because
I would like to point that out before somebody feels they have to write an editorial about it.
About that. You bring it back to life anyway. That would be okay. It's just amazing overall in the text to look at people texting in just about individual things. Like Neil says in the episode, The Library. I love The Library. Am I getting mixed up? That's The Shadows, right?
That's right, yeah. Right, that's another Stephen Moffat story, you see.
And he's, of course, going to be the new writer, producer.
Yeah.
So he's the guy that's coming in. So people should have a lot of confidence on him, even though Russell, of course, will be missed. But you met a lady who you gave your sonic screwdriver to. Did we find out where you first met her before you buy out? Oh, yes, because you meet the girl has your sonic screwdriver.
She
you
seems
don't give
to,
it to
she seems
she has
to,
one.
She's met me already, although I've yet to meet her.
Yeah, and she whispers something in your ear. He's hit something here. She whispers something in your ear,
it's
massive news to you.
That's
massive news to you.
Yeah.
Have we hit on something that's going to affect your departure from the programme? I think we have.
I'm sure...
I'll describe his face for you at the moment. It's shock. It's going white.
I'm being absolutely inscrutable. Faithful listener, I'm sure our song story is not over, but I will say no more.
Neil, fantastic work on the text, because that episode.
I wouldn't read
fantastic.
Too much into that answer, to be honest with you.
Oh, we can only dream. It's all right. That's what we do. Do stay with us if you can.
Yeah, lovely.
Five 10 minutes. We'll get a bit of news and sport, and then we'll talk a little bit more about other things you're going to be up to.
Lovely.
And what have you? But thank you so much for all of your reaction on the text there, and apologies to Nick Duncarf for calling him a man beast just before he did his
loose man beast
travel. Yeah. Never a good thing. All right, you're listening to Five Live. Colin Murray in for